To Jag's right, immediately beside the still droning Bothan, was Ter Fenir, supreme military commander of the Confederation. He was the closest that loose alliance of planets had to an overall leader. Pale, aristocratic, with a scar reaching from the middle of his left cheek to the left corner of his mouth, he, like Fel, was a former combat pilot. The reputation he'd earned early in his career for classic Imperial backstabbing politics and combat savagery had changed over the years to one of pragmatism and honorable service. And until now, Luke had given no conscious thought to the fact that these three, the most eminent politicians on Coruscant at this moment, were all Imperials. That realization struck him like a bucket of icy water. He had fought the Imperials for decades, had played a role in the defeat of every one of their major operations during that time, and here they were, in charge of everything. Leia glanced at Luke, amused. I felt that. I didn't put it together before now. I've been thinking of the three of them as themselves, not as Imperials. The fate of the galaxy is, all of a sudden, in the hands of Imperials. Yes. When did it strike you? 2 years ago, when Dala and Fel took their posts within a short time of each other. You didn't mention it to me. She shrugged. There is nothing I could do about it, or should do about it. The symbolism of them all being Imperials in one way or another is nothing compared with the question of who they are inside. I mean, the rebellion was largely made up of former Imperials. Crix Medine, Mon Mothma, Jan Dodonna. I'm a former Imperial Senator. True, and all three leaders up at that table are honorable people. Yes, but that doesn't mean they want what we want, or that they can see the consequences of their decisions the way we can. Leia's smile became distinctly ironic. I bet Palpatine's ghost is laughing at us right now. Luke forced himself to relax. He had, over the years, become convinced that in the absence of Palpatine and his immediate successors, such as Isan Isard and Sate Pestage, what it meant to be an Imperial had changed. The Moffs, sector governors, tended to be as scheming and self-serving as they were 40 years earlier, but the military, an even more potent force in the Remnant, was largely populated by men and women who simply preferred a more orderly, more governed society than that found in the Alliance. The Empire was no longer a symbol of tyranny or of planetary genocide. But the strangeness of the situation did not leave Luke. He took a look around his table to see if the others present were similarly affected. Kip Durin faced the dais and wore an expression suggesting that he was somewhere else, maintaining a false show of interest that was nothing but polite veneer. Jaina, as beautiful as her mother, Leia, but even more dangerous, concentrated on those at the dais, especially Jag Fel. Han Solo, lanky, weathered, and vital, sitting to the right of Leia, wore his traditional vest and trousers, the latter decorated with the Corellian blood stripes, his informal mode of dress in defiance of event protocols. He stared in heavy-lidded disinterest at the speaker. Cam and Teon Solasar, no visible sign left of the savage mutilations they had survived during the recent war, ignored the Bothan speech and whispered between themselves. And the horns? Luke blinked. Where were Corrin and Mirax? They'd be testifying before separate panels later today and had announced they would be present at these opening ceremonies. Luke grinned sourly to himself. Corrin Horn was a loyal ally and would stand beside him in the face of any danger, but he was obviously canny enough to avoid the threat of death by boredom.